We thought we would leave you with a discussion of something which is actually crucial to civilization. I think back to my first job. Okay, it was at a car wash. But my first job in an office. I went in, they gave me a place to work, to sit down. I looked around. I went, wow, this is great. I stood up. I could see all my fellow employees over the walls of all the cubicles, and it began the slow erosion of my brain. Yes, the cubicle, the office cubicle that we all know and love, turns 40 today. And to help us understand what this means, Debbie Millman, partner of Sterling Brands and host of the internet radio show Design Matters, is here with us. Mary Elizabeth Williams is still with us. I guess we all know cubicles, right? They've turned 40. Are we happy about that, or are we really sad about that, Debbie?
Well, I think primarily we're pretty sad, but the irony is that cubicles were actually born out of a rather noble effort. Robert Probst, who is the creator, the inventor of the cubicle in 1968, created the cubicle out of a truly utopian, egalitarian vision, which was to allow for a more free-flowing exchange of ideas and information. And it was created in a time when there was no internet or no email. And Intel was the first company that brought the cubicle into their offices.
Well, they did all right.
Well, it was a time when corporate culture was really changing. Companies were abandoning the dress codes, and there was flexible time that was being brought into the workplace. And the designer of the cubicle felt that people could see more of their work if it was actually spread out in front of them, and that this nook could be something that was used for personal expression. It was open to collaborative expression in that you could look over the top of the
half wall and collaborate with your cubicle neighbors. This notion of utopia kind of went awry somewhere.
Well, you know, it wasn't conceived to go awry. It was conceived to create more of a collaborative effort, but it was driven that way by economics. The Galt Global Review did a study on why office design matters a couple of years ago and determined that cubicles reduce person-to-person communication. They actually create a big, steep decline in morale.
Because people kind of sit in them. They hide in there.
They're
cubicles.
Uninspiring. They're dehumanizing.
They huddle.
They become very territorial about their space. They don't want to leave. And actually, this review showed that there were production delays via the use of people working
totally backfired, at least according to that survey.
So, Debbie, why are they still so persistent?
Because they're cheap, because they're modular, because they don't create a lot of labor. They're not labor-intensive in the creation. They are more efficient, space efficient. You can put more people in spaces. And as a matter of fact, the original cubicles were created, designed with 250 square feet.
Which is about the size of your average studio
Manhattan,
here.
Manhattan,
it's a four-bedroom
apartment
in Manhattan.
Right. And then they were reduced about 15 or so years ago to about 190 square feet. And urban office planners have now determined that the cubicle could actually be reduced another 21%.
Downsizing cubicles.
But you have to wonder if people's response and morale will plummet at that same percentage as you take away more and more space from their little universe.
Well, I was looking at some of the Flickr pictures that were sent in, and there was a picture that was sent in
to our website, where
a man was sitting at a cubicle, and the cubicle wall behind him was so close to his chair, I do not think he could swerve back and get out. I think he had to climb over the armrest in order to get out of his
chair.
Maybe
there's a camera mounted in the cubicle. Well, I love this territorial idea. Have you ever bought like a big giant plant in your cubicle and it sort of impinges on maybe your neighbor?
No.
Anything like that?
Well, I saw one of the other pictures where a woman had a vase full of bamboo. And for those that are familiar with bamboo, bamboo is one of the fastest growing plants. And I think that this is her effort to create some camouflage to not have to see her neighbor. Robert Probst was so embarrassed by this invention that before he died, he actually apologized for his invention and apologized for what he called the monolithic insanity of the cubicle.
What a legacy.
It's not funny, but gee, there's some giant, giant irony there. And of course, I mean, we're not going back. The cubicles are not going away for all those reasons that you just listed.
Yeah. I mean, there are some.
That's so sad. I mean, Robert Propst, is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, first of all,
I apologize for the cubicle.
They perverted my invention. Yes.
Well, there would be no Dilbert if there were no cubicles.
Right. Well, we have to get to one final little thing. We want to give Mary Elizabeth Williams a chance to redeem herself. I have been chastised on the internet already for saying
there was an upcoming actor strike.
Scheduled.
And it is a possible. Possible right. strike. So yeah. I apologize.
Because a listener corrected us in saying that SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, is still negotiating. Yeah. And I think
who runs a
film company is hoping that they will resolve things.
He's sitting at a cubicle somewhere.
As we all are.
Firing off angry emails.
Mentioning that, I think that we should also say that on our website you'll find a picture of our offices, which are a step below cubicles. I think that's how we would describe it.
Postmodern cubicle. Yeah, something like that. Yes,
just picture something out of The Matrix.
Right. And here's just a little, you know, in celebration of the cubicle's birthday.
Oh, wait a second. We also have this great... Steve tells us he used to be a temp worker designing the adverts that went into a phone book, and he was in a cubicle. It was making him crazy, and after about 6 weeks, he couldn't stand it, so he left for greener pastures. He said, fast forward 8 years later, I'm now working with my wife, and she keeps talking about how she wants her own cubicle and our small two-person office.
Send all your stuff all weekend to us at thetakeaway.org. Mary Beth Williams is writing a blog about the new TV season. Debbie Millman of Design Matters, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
You can download our entire show as an MP3 or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Keep your comments coming. We read everything. We're The Takeaway.
Have a good weekend.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.